Welcome to the March 31st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and the sermon is entitled Message of Easter, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
It's amazing when we think of the power of Christ and what that should have in our life. And I want you to know the message of Easter, this Easter, is very personal to me. It has been my heartfelt prayer for Easter morning that the people of God that gather at Clifford Baptist Church would do so in the sanctuary that is renewed and repainted and recarpeted and restored. And that burden that I have carried for 4 months, I'm not going to point anybody out, but we have people in this service right now that had a big part of that. And so my thank you goes to those people that poured into time and effort and energy over the past 4 months to get us back to this point. Also, I want to say thank you on behalf of a pastor's heart. It's a humbling thing when you are the reason, right? And we're going to speak to that in just a second. But the Lord has taught me so much. Looking back, God's hand, He has allowed me to trace His hand in every aspect of it. But my thank you goes out to the church, to the congregation, who I upset your routine and I upset what you were used to, and I changed everything about church that you knew, and you went right along and you continue to worship and you continue to show up and you continue to serve the Lord. And I want to say thank you to a church that has been resilient through the process as well. A pastor's thought is there's going to be an opportunity for everybody to go everywhere else. And when we gather back together, there's not going to be anyone to worship at Clifford anymore because they're going to find a new home. But God showed me through two services today that this is home to so many. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for allowing this to be your home. Thank you for worshiping with us through the process. And I thank you that on this Easter morning, this is a culmination of people praying, people working hard and doing their job, and the glory and the power of God. And so I say thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, getting to the sermon. That ain't even the sermon yet, okay? So we're going to join together. Luke chapter number 24. We think about the message of Easter. And here's what I want to tell you. We gather on Easter morning. We do it usually with our family. We come together to church, and we hear that message that we hear year after year and time after time. And sometimes, here's what happens in the human mind and in the human heart. When you hear the same thing over and over and over, it kind of gets mundane and it kind of loses its power or its importance. And so today I want you to look with me at an empty tomb in a very different way. What the Lord has revealed to you, the message of the empty tomb is the same. That has not changed. But through Scripture and through God opening our eyes and our hearts together, I pray that as we look at that empty tomb, we see the true message of Easter. The Gospel of Luke was written for one reason and one reason alone. Dr. Luke writes this message according to Luke chapter number 1, verse number 4. He says this, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Theophilus, you will know that what I write to you is true and it has happened, and you can believe it with every ounce of fiber that is within you. And so today, the message of Easter is different for each of us. But I pray through this service today that we're going to look at five things that the message of Easter offers us. The greatest message is this: Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen? We know that. We have been taught that since we were kids. We understand that. We believe that. But friends, we cannot lose the power. We cannot only gather one time a year to celebrate that. It is an everyday celebration that Jesus Christ is alive. The message of Easter today is important for every person, every boy and every girl, every family, that we understand, yes, Jesus is alive. And because of that, He gives us some great truth. Go to the book of Luke, chapter number 24, starting with verses 1 through 3. Here's what God's word says. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. The message of Easter, the first point today, the message of Easter is one of honor. I don't know how you started your Easter morning. I gave you a little background of how mine was. I was clock watching. I was waiting. It was like a kid at Christmas. I could not wait to get in this room today and to worship today. But that is my own personal desire. So at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock and finally at 6 o'clock, I got up and I made my way. I did not lay out an Easter outfit. I did not go buy a new shirt or a new tie or anything. I just went to the same old closet and I said, okay, what am I going to wear today? And so the first thing I got to was a blue shirt. I said, that'll do today. And the next thing I said, okay, I got to the blue pants. Okay, that'll do today. And I wanted a blue jacket, but I couldn't make myself do all blue, okay? So I went upstairs and said, okay, this jacket will work and that tie will work. And I put myself together with the same old clothes to present myself reasonably before the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care what you're dressed like today. It doesn't matter how you showed up today. But the way that I enter the presence of God is one that gives Him honor. And we can do that through the way that we dress, or we more importantly do that with the way that we come through the doors, the way that your heart is prepared before you come in. I'm going to challenge you. Maybe you didn't do this morning, but I'm going to challenge you every Sunday morning on the way to church. I know if your family is like my family, those are great times for disagreements. Prepare for church on the way. Prepare for church before you come. Prepare your heart. Because more important than what you have on is the way that you come in prepared to receive the Word of God. This morning, I entered this building in a reverence and honor for the Lord, not because of what I wore, not because of crews that work hard to get us back here, but because I know through it all, God is faithful. Amen? You know the greatest way to honor the Lord? It is not by the way that you dress. It is not even by coming to church, though you should go to church, okay? The greatest way that you can honor the Lord is by giving Him the days of your life that you have left. You open in your heart and you say, Lord, here is my heart. Please come in and save me and change me and use me for the rest of my days. He took an old country boy from Amherst, Virginia, and look what you're stuck with. I'd rather be in the field with cows, but he put me in here with you. Here's what I'm telling you. The greatest honor for Easter that we can give God is the honor of His presence in our life, in our heart, not for just one day, but for all eternity. And so today, I want to challenge you that the message of Easter is not for one day. It is that He loves you, and that He is alive, and that He wants to live in every one of your heart. Amen. Here's also the message. There's a group of women that make their way to that tomb. And in chapter number 23, it ends by these ladies preparing spices and ointments to go anoint the body of Jesus. And when we think of that, I'm going to just be real with you. When somebody died in Jesus' day, there was no embalming, so decay begins. And so these women were preparing in advance for that decay. And the end of chapter number 23, here's what verse 53 says. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein no man never was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. That verse says this. These ladies followed him. They seen him killed and crucified on the cross. They watched the men Nicodemus and Joseph ask and beg for the body of Jesus to give it proper burial. These women saw all of that process. And along the lines, they said, we need to do our part. We need to honor the Lord. And so our part is this. We will prepare spices that when the time comes, we can anoint our Savior's body. And so in verse number 55, you see that they gather the spices and they go and they see where that tomb is. Verse 56, they prepared spices and ointments, and there was a day of rest. Do you see that? They rested on the Sabbath because they could not do any work. So the preparation was before. They rested a day and they woke up that Easter Sunday morning knowing today is the day we must go honor Jesus. What if in every life, in every Christian heart, that we approached every Sunday with that same intensity and that same mindset? Today is the day that I get to go honor and worship my Lord. Yes, today we celebrate it once a year. Easter, we celebrate it once a year. We celebrate the risen Christ once a year. But that should be every single day. The greatest honor that you can give God on this Easter morning is not by the clothes that you have on, not even by your presence in church. It's by surrendering your heart and your life to Him and allowing Him to lead the days that you have left. There's a second message of Easter. Let's look at it in verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Point number 2 of today, the message of Easter is one of life. It's one of life. What do you mean, Pastor Jeffrey? You said that he was crucified on the cross. He was laid in that borrowed tomb. That is exactly right. But we are told through Luke's gospel that the stone over the opening has been rolled away. And it has revealed that the body of Jesus is gone. And as those women are processing that, the stone is rolled away. The body is gone. There are angelic beings here. How would you feel? I'm going to tell you how you will feel. Read verse number 4. And it came to pass, they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You would be puzzled. All right, what happened? We know where they buried him. We saw it with our eyes. We went to prepare spices. We took our Sabbath day. And we showed up at the beginning of the next day. Jesus should be right here. But he wasn't. He wasn't. And as they see those angels, there is another emotion that fills their body. It says this in verse number 5. They were afraid. And don't tell me that angels in shining garments. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I'll go on record and say I've never seen an angel. Do I believe in them? Absolutely, because the Bible speaks of them. But I've never seen one. But if one appeared to me like this, I would be afraid as well. Because God's about to do something. An angel is not to be worshipped. An angel is a worker of the Lord. So anytime an angel is seen, the Lord is doing business. And so these women fall down, and in verse number 5, they bow down their faces to the earth. They are perplexed and afraid, and they are bowed down. They are confused and puzzled. They don't know what's going on. And these angels that have shown up, they are not worshiping them. They bring a question. And that question in verse number 5 is this: why do you seek the living among the dead? Can I translate that for you? You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking in the wrong place. The angel's message: you're looking for somebody that is dead. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. So you're looking in the wrong place. And so the message of Easter is one of life. As the angels show up and they pronounce all of these things, they ask that question, why do do you seek him here? Now, we do a great job of, as Christians, of putting Jesus on the cross. Now, listen to me closely. Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world. I like to make it personal. He died there for my sin. But a lot of times we stop there. The Easter story does not stop on the cross. The Easter story puts him on the cross, takes him off the cross, puts him in the tomb as he experienced death in our place. But the Easter story opens that tomb and says, Jesus is alive. Amen. Today, when you tell the story of Jesus, you need to tell the story not how Jesus died, but how he died and he was buried, and now that he lives, that we can have relationship with him. I'm grateful that the message of Easter is one of life. And it's not for the angels who only pronounce. It's for his children, his body, his church, believers to carry that message to the world. How many of you today believe that Jesus is alive? Amen. Today, I'm grateful for that. There's a third message. Look at verses 6 through 8. The angels continue by saying, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. The message of Easter is one of remembrance. Now, I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about me. I'm not ashamed of my age yet. Somebody reminded me there's a little more salt getting into my pepper up here, okay? So age is coming. 41 years old. Some of you look at me and say, oh, you're just a pup. And there are some of you that look at me and say, you're an old man, okay? Depending on where that is. And so when we think about our age at 41 years old, I'm going to tell you how Jeffrey's mind works. There's a lot of things that flow through this mind. From a schedule, to a job, to family, to people's name, to responsibilities, to things at home. All of that stuff is flowing through our mind. Am I the only one, or can you relate to that? Well, Jeffrey's mind grabs some of those things. And if I'm smart, I'll take out a pen and I'll write it down and I'll put it so I will remember. Because here's the greatest thing. Human beings forget. I'm going to tell a very real and personal story to you. A couple of months ago, I decided it would be a great idea to film an invitation to a community to come to Clifford Baptist Church through the Christmas season. I came over here by myself, and I set up a little stand and some lights and a phone, and I began to record, and I nailed the first one. I nailed it. I never do that. But I went back and I looked in the background and there was an Advent wreath in the background. And I said, we began the Advent wreath and I lit that and we lit the candle. I need to light the candle on that wreath and I need to refilm it. And so I did. And so after I finished, I tore down everything. I put the lights away. I put the drop cords up. I put the phone up and I marched out of this room. And I went to a basketball game at my sons were playing in Lynchburg. At 7 o'clock that night, the phone rings. Steve Drummond from the Amherst Fire Department calls and says, hey, Jeffrey, what you got going on? I said, I don't know. I'm in Lynchburg. What's going on? What are you talking about? And he said, there's a fire at the church. And I said, okay, I don't know anything about it, but I'll hit there. As soon as I hung up with him, another phone call came in from Buddy Jennings. And Buddy Jennings, in a frantic voice, says, Jeffrey, where are you at? And I said, I'm watching a ball game. He said, get out here fast. And I said, buddy, what's going on? He said, the fire. And here's what he said, the Advent wreath. When do you think Jeffrey remembered? I threw everything. I left my kids at Liberty, at LCA, and I took off as fast as I can. But here's what I'm telling you. I didn't remember anything. The fire department calls me. I didn't remember. Until Buddy said the Advent wreath, I remembered I left the candle burning. And that's what did all the damage. 4 months later, I can chuckle at it. The day after, I was in a terrible place. But here's the reality. So many things go in and out, and life gets so busy, and we tend to forget more than we remember. And so here's what I want you to know about the message of Easter. It is a message of remembrance. And in verse number 6, here's what the angels say. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Friends, life gets busy for all of us. And here's my prayer, that the message of Easter is not one that we can just flippantly lay aside and celebrate one time a year, but it's one that we must gather week by week and celebrate, that we have a risen Savior, and that he loves every one of you, and he desires to live in your heart and to be a part of your life. And so it's one of remembrance, just as these ladies remembered the words. The angels had to tell them about it. They remembered Jesus said he would do it. I'm thankful for the message that not only would he be delivered in the hands of sinful men in verse number 7, that he would be crucified. That didn't jog the memory. But the third day, he would rise again. That triggered the memory. They remembered the words. And so my heartfelt desire for our church is this, is that the message of Easter be one of remembrance, that it fall deep in our ears and deep in our minds. But more importantly, the message of Jesus must make it to the heart. And from there, we live day in and day out because the Savior loves us. When I think of my situation, I'm not much different. Because sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. And sometimes it takes people to remind me. But in doing so, we understand the importance that this day is a day of remembrance of what Jesus has done for every one of us. There's a fourth point. Look at verses 9 through 11. And returned from the sepulchre, or the tomb, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Here's the reality. The message of Easter is one of unbelief. What do you mean, Pastor? Did you just say the message of Easter is one of unbelief? Absolutely. Absolutely. And here is the reality. And I want everybody just to focus here, because I want to tell you the truth. God has taught me this. When there is much more than one person, if there's more than one person that gathers together, the opportunity for unbelief is there. But the Bible also tells us where two or more are gathered, Jesus will be there. Amen. And so I look at a crowd, and maybe somebody will ask me this week, how was your Easter service? I'm going to say it was great. We were back in the sanctuary. We prayed for that. Man, people came out to a sunrise service, and people came out to a 9 o'clock service, and people came out to 11 o'clock service, and we worshiped together. It was a great day. But here is the reality. The message of Easter offers us the reminder that no matter of how many believe, there are still people that do not believe. And as you see these women, they see that the stone is gone. They go in and see that the tomb is empty. The angels appear to them and give them instruction and remind them. And listen, they fall on the ground in worship. And as they get up running back to those apostles and those disciples to tell the good news that Jesus is alive. These women were some of the first ones to tell the truth of Jesus and what happened at that tomb. But I'm grateful today that when we think of unbelief, unbelief is still around us. And this is not the pastor judging. This is the pastor speaking truth. Just as there was unbelief in the heart of the people that were closest to Jesus, there's unbelief in this room this morning. I would be a fool to think otherwise. And so looking into your eyes and looking into your hearts and speaking into your lives and into your families, the message of Easter is one that Jesus is alive, but also recognizes there are some that will not believe that. Look again, if you will, at verse number 10. It says this: "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Can you imagine these ladies showing up in the presence of Peter and John and the like of the disciples and saying, "Hey guys, Jesus is alive, just like he said." And they're like, "Ain't no way." Because they remembered he was on the cross. They remembered he was in a bar too. Many of these are the ones that scattered and got away. The news of Easter is this: in the middle of the busyness, in the middle of all that is going on, there are some that still won't believe Jesus is alive. And it's not your job to beat them over the head. It's not your job to twist their arm. Some of that may have had to happen this morning to get your family here. That's okay. But the story of Easter is one that brings question and doubt. And maybe you're sitting in this room, or maybe you're watching a live stream today, and you say, I have questions there. I can't fully believe. I have doubts. Maybe you're like Thomas, if I could just see the proof, I would believe. I'm so grateful for the firsthand account, the Word of God, that gives us proof that Jesus is alive. And even though when I got saved at 15 years old, I didn't understand it all, by faith I accepted that that's what Jesus did for me. Today, we're not asking you to understand it all. We're not asking you to come to Jesus when you got it all put together. If you wait that long, you will never come to Jesus. But by faith today, if you are sitting here in this room or you watching live stream and there is unbelief and doubt in your life, by faith I'm asking you to trust in the holiness of God. That he needed a relationship with you. That he sent his son Jesus to take your place on a cross and to die for your sin, that you may have life. He took your place in a tomb, because the payment for sin is death. Jesus took your place so that you can have a relationship with God the Father. Today I pray that you don't leave this room with that unbelief in your heart. There's one more message of Easter, and it's found in verse number 12. "Then arose Peter, stooping down, he beheld..." "Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." I'm going to ask you a question this morning, this Easter morning. What would it take to make you run? You can laugh. It's okay. My running days are over. Okay? I just want you to know that. At 41, I tried it. It killed my knees. I'm done. Okay? I'm over it. Now, the doctor tells me I probably need to do that a little bit more. But I'm not criticizing for anybody that runs. I'm not. But here's what I'm saying. In order for Jeffrey to run today, something would have to be after me. I want to submit this thought to you today. I believe something was after Peter. Remember, Peter is the one that denied Jesus. Remember that. I don't know the man. As Peter worked through those days, watching his Savior crucified and fleeing, denying all parts of Jesus, I submit to you today that I believe something was after Peter. And I believe it was his conscience knowing, hoping, desiring that Jesus would give him a second chance. Jesus, just give me a second chance. I hope that Jesus is alive. And with that news that Jesus was not there, Peter took that outer garment and he hiked it up because it would slow him down. And he took off running because he knew where to find Jesus. He went to that tomb. But guess what? Jesus wasn't there. Jesus wasn't there. Look again at verse number 12. Then arose Peter and he ran to the sepulcher of the tomb and he stooped down and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and he departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter makes it there and in my mind he's probably gasping for breath and he looks down at that tomb and he just sees the linen, the grave clothes that are folded neatly there waiting for him. The body's not there. Jesus is not there. But he leaves that empty tomb wondering. The message of Easter, point number 5 today, is one of proof. The tomb was empty. What more proof did Peter need? The Gospel of John writes these words that he beat Peter there. I love that. I love competition. John said, I was the first one there. But here's what John's Gospel said. When I looked in, I believed. Peter, pondering all the things that are going on. And today I want to leave this sermon, this message, this day with this thought. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away that unbelievers could look in and see that Jesus Christ was risen. Amen. I've got a homework assignment for you this afternoon. You go back through Luke chapter number 24, verses 1 through 12, and contemplate in your mind how many people looked into that empty tomb. Look at verse number 2 again. I told you we would come back. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher or the tomb. And these women, in verse number 3, and they entered in. The first people to enter the tomb were the women looking. They would take that message back to those that were closest to Jesus. And what would they do? Peter and John would run to that tomb and desire to see Jesus. And they would look in. They would not see Jesus. God rolled that stone away for every unbeliever that wants to see Jesus. As they peer in the empty tomb, they see that He is not there. He is risen and He is alive. Amen. So today, I close this message by simply saying this. If there is any doubt or any unbelief in your life, just come to the tomb. You know the story about Jesus, and sometimes we stop it there and leave him there, and we wear crosses and we wear necklaces and we put the cross on a tattoo or a shirt or a hat. We do that, but the story doesn't stop on the cross. It was made complete and finished by the empty tomb. And maybe there's somebody here this morning. In 2024, 2,000 years later, that just needs to look into that empty tomb and see that there's proof that Jesus lives. Not only did He die for my sin, and not only was He buried for my death, But he rose on the third day to give me life and relationship with God Almighty through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, his life, his living, his dying, his resurrection was so that every person, anyone, whosoever would believe, would come and see that he loves and that he offers life for anyone who will believe. My invitation this morning, and I only have the invitation to do this because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to be here. And here's the reality, none of us do. None of us do. But from the mouth of the Lord God to your heart, he wants a relationship. And that message of relationship, yes, it's one of life, and it's one of honor, and it's one that we must recognize as we live our lives that we need to give back. It's a message of unbelief. But today, if you are here and you have never come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and to save you of your sin, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you to look at the cross, because at the cross, Jesus made the payment for your sin once and for all. It was finished. You can't be good enough. Jesus took your place. I invite you to the tomb, which means death. And in that death, Jesus took your place. And he took my place. And he laid in that tomb for 3 days in death so that you would never have to experience death. The promise to the believer, you will experience a physical death, but you will live for all eternity. As you look at the tomb today, the invitation is this, that you come seeing not only did Jesus die on a cross, shed his blood, not only did he lay in a borrowed tomb, but he rose that you may have life and in its fullest through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, if you need him, the heart of God just simply says this, come. Come. He has rolled that stone away that even though you have unbelief, you can see the power of his love. Christian believer today, church member, here is my prayer for you, that we come to share the Easter message, one that honors Jesus, one that lives for Jesus, one that remembers Jesus, and one that continues to believe in Jesus every single day of our life. That is the challenge. For the rest of our days, we live out those days in honor, knowing that we serve and we live for a risen Savior. Praise be to our God. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, as we come today, we do so knowing, Lord, that you are working in these moments. God, I thank you for each person here. And Lord, only the way that you know the hearts and you understand each one, Lord, for that life today that is here, that may be running, that may be afraid, that may be scared, that may have unbelief. Lord, through Scripture today, you have taught us that they will just come by faith, that they will come, that you will give them all the proof they need, that you will show them your love, and you will show them the nail-scarred hands, and you will show them the empty tomb, that you went and you bore those in their place. God, if there's one that needs you today, I pray that you bring that heart. Lord, for that believer, maybe there's a believer in here that's running. Maybe there's a believer in here that can relate to Peter, that when the crunch time came, they denied and they got out and they ran. They scattered. Lord, the empty tomb brought them back together. So today, maybe that one child of yours that has been running will come back and they will see you for who you are. Bring that one back today, God, I pray. Lord, for believers in this room, Lord, may you give us the courage and strength to continue to stand in these days on the power of the empty tomb. Lord, through your death and resurrection, that we have life and that we can show that and speak that in every part of our life for the days that we have left. God, thank you for this service, and we give you this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.